Before we begin with the Word of God, can you please now join me in prayer? We thank you, God, O Lord, for your Word. Father, your Word is so rich and so full of truth. Lord, I acknowledge my limitations, Father God, but your Word says, in weakness, your word is strong. Father, I pray that that will be made evident this morning as I preach your word. Father, move now in the hearts of your people as they hear this message. Let your name alone be magnified and glorified in all of this, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a saying that goes, what you do with your money reveals what is in your heart. Yeah. What you spend your money on, how you give to those who are in need, no? How you give to the church reveals how spiritual a man truly is. Medyo extreme, but do you believe this? You should. You should. Because Luke 12, verse 34 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So your spending or your saving habits reveal what is in your heart. Saving money is not forbidden in the Bible. In fact, it is encouraged. In the book of Genesis, it says, Joseph stored up grain in great abundance during the 7 years of plenty, and when the 7 year famine came, in Egypt, there was bread. Now, because of Joseph's efforts to save, many people survived the famine. His father and his brothers did not die of hunger. And Israel's line continued. Now, even the accumulation of wealth is not forbidden in the Bible. There are prominent men in the Bible. Abraham, Job, Boaz, Solomon were all extremely rich. But what the Bible forbids is the love of money. Now, here in Guiding Light, our pastors live by faith. None of them receive a fixed salary for the full-time work that they render to God and the full-time work that they render to the church that is listed in our church manual. They are not even given an allowance for fixed expenses related to the performance of their spiritual duties. The manual says, or church manual says, that Guiding Light pastors should live by faith. They have faith that God will supply all their needs. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Our pastors live by these biblical principles. But, you know, I feel that they have taken it many steps further by rarely or not exhorting the people to give. In one of our ad hoc committee meetings, just a few months ago, one of our committee members said, I haven't heard Pastor Robbie or any of our pastors preach about giving in the last 10 years, sabi niya. Sabi ko, hindi naman siguro 10 years. Okay, sige, sabi niya, when was the last time? And then I started to recall and I could not recall. So sabi ko, mukhang matagal na nga. Mukhang talagang matagal na simula nun. Now, I cannot blame our pastors. Giving really is a difficult topic to preach. When you begin to speak about giving, people would begin to think that you are asking for money. Now, if I were a pastor living by faith, I wouldn't even know how to begin to speak about giving. Why? Because a preaching on giving would be self-serving for a pastor. And to make things worse, Filipinos, especially those who are living in this region of the Philippines, yung Ilocos region, are known for their closed fists when it comes to money. Yung mga fists of fury, hindi po ba? Yan ang tawag sa kanila. I'm not saying that's true for all of us who are living here, but generally, that's what they say. Now, perhaps, some of you, the moment you realized that I was moving towards the topic of giving, began to think, this guy will ask for money. But before you start to think about that, no, let me say this. Look at your tithe envelopes, the tithe envelopes that you are sitting on in your chairs, and you will see that my name is not listed there in the list of items where you want your tithe to be distributed. No. My name is not listed there as a full-time elder. Even if I am an ordained elder, I am just a lay elder, and you will not see my name in the tithe envelope. And so you cannot think that I speak about giving for my own selfish purposes. I am not peddling some self-serving message here, my friends. And because of this, my co-member in that ad hoc committee said to me, maybe you should take it upon yourself to preach about giving, since no one can say that it is self-serving for you. And you should spare our pastors from the burden of having to share this difficult message. And I realized how much he made sense. Plus, this is a message that has to be shared because people need to be reminded of how to give biblically. Hindi po ba? So, I can't really say that our pastors will not benefit from this message, because if you listen and respond to the message, the pastors will benefit. But the entire church will be the biggest beneficiary of generous giving. What was our first song earlier? Generous King. I had no hand in that. I did not instruct the worship team to sing this song. This is just proof that even in the little things, God is sovereign. He orchestrates even the little things. Amen po ba? Amen. Thank you, worship team. Thank you. And so, all churches, including ours, realize that money is essential. Without it, we cannot operate. Thank God we have our own center, and we do not have to pay rent. But how can we pay for our utilities, staff salaries, basic necessities that every member enjoys? Diba? We do not have money as our goal, because money is one of the biggest problems our leaders encounter. We discuss that all the time in our elders' meeting. Every week, that always comes up. Now, we do not have the accumulation of money as our goal, but we need money to accomplish all our goals. We do. How will we send missionaries to the remote villages of Pangasinan if we do not have money? How can we help our members who are sick or needy if we do not have enough money in our benevolent fund? Do you remember how we were able to build this center that we are now worshiping in? How many programs did we launch? How many of us unselfishly gave above and beyond our tithes so that we could enjoy this beautiful center? Hindi po ba? Now, some of you might question the message, the timing of this message, Some of you might just say, we just came from a pandemic. Now we're still recovering. I just reopened my business, or I just started in a new job. Na, ngayon pa ba siya? Is this the right time to ask for money? Now is not the time. Maybe he should have shared a more appropriate message. He should have been more sensitive. He should have just shared a message that would encourage us. Maybe some of you are thinking that. But my prayer is that this message will truly encourage you. Huh? Later, we will realize that Paul was able to answer all of these questions and all of these issues effectively in his letter to the Corinthians. So please, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The title of the passage in my NASB version is Great Generosity. Great Generosity. So I'll be reading from verse 1. It says, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." So this passage talks about the extraordinary generosity of the Macedonian church, of the Macedonians. It exhorts the Corinthians to follow the example of their Macedonian brothers. 2 Corinthians contains many theological truths. Here in this book, Paul presents important teachings on what happens to believers when they die, how Jesus paid for our sins, the practical aspect of Christian living, and how to distinguish true servants of God from false teachers. Now, the city of Corinth had a strategic location. I'm so thankful that Brother Vicoy included an adequate background of the city of Corinth in his preaching last Sunday. So my background for today will be effectively shortened. Thank you, Brother Vicoy. So I would just like to add some other important information relevant to our study of this passage. You see, Corinth controlled the trade route between northern and southern Greece. Commercial vessels docked at her ports. She was a big and rich commercial city, much like Manila, and also an entertainment center that hosted an annual games which drew large crowds. But as Brother Vicoy mentioned last week, Corinth had a dark side. Aside from that dark side, it was the center of slave trade in the region. The people there were immoral. Prostitution was one of the sources of livelihood of the women. Now, Paul came to this rich and important city in his second missionary journey. The first Christians there gave for two reasons. First, to support the leaders of the church and to attend to the needs of the poor. They were faithful in giving to the poor in their own congregation. Now, Paul wanted to bring a special offering for the Christians in Jerusalem to strengthen and unite the Gentile churches and the Jewish congregation. Now, many from the Jerusalem church were pilgrims. They experienced poverty because of persecution. the economy in Jerusalem was so bad that even the economy of their neighbors was bad. They were plundered by the Romans, and then they were heavily taxed despite the famine that they were going through. And that is why Paul decided to bring a collection for the Jerusalem church using the kindness of the Macedonians as an example of giving. Now, even if the Corinthians were faithful in giving to their own congregation, they were not able to fulfill their commitment to give to the other churches. Corinth was rich. Yes, but Paul might have noticed that the spiritual level of the Corinthians was shallow. And so Paul uses this opportunity to teach them how believers should give. Now, what I usually do when I am the one assigned to give the message is I give a short outline of my message so that you can easily follow my outline. Hindi po kasi ako pala PowerPoint presentation. Di ba? So this morning, I will be speaking about biblical giving. Biblical giving. And our passage comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where he exhorts the church in Corinth to give to the work of the Lord, to support the church, and to support the poor. So here in this passage, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 8, he gives us 8 principles of biblical giving. 8 principles of biblical giving. And the first principle is found in verse 1. First, realize that the grace of God is the driving force behind right giving. Go back to verse 1. It says there, the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. Paul used the Macedonian church as an example of giving. You see, the Roman province of Macedonia was an extremely poor region. They were going through horrible living conditions. They were ravaged by wars and plundered by the Romans. But despite their deep poverty, the Macedonian believers were amazingly generous, as we will see later. No? And so this is what Paul was trying to say. If you have not experienced the grace of God, you cannot give rightly. You will only give whatever is convenient to you. No? But if you have experienced the grace of God, you must be able to give according to His word. No? One of the effects of saving grace is that even your giving is dramatically changed. It is radically changed. If your heart has been transformed by God's sanctifying grace, you would long to give generously and sacrificially to those who are in need, especially to other believers. But what if you have been a believer for many years and you still cannot give generously because of your fist of fury? Only you know the answer to that. The Corinthians were not aware of the magnitude of the Macedonians' generosity, and so Paul wanted to make it known to them. Their giving was motivated by the grace of God at work in their hearts, and not just by human kindness, not just by philanthropy. We know what philanthropy is, diba? Philanthropy is the generous giving to good causes because of the desire to promote the welfare of others. Now, I made a little study. Now, according to Forbes magazine, one of the most philanthropic billionaires in the U.S. is Microsoft founder Bill Gates. Yeah. Bill Gates and his wife, Melinda, recorded a lifetime giving of $33 billion. Wow. $33 billion. Ang laki na ng mababawas sa ating external debt, ng debt ng Pilipinas, if they shared that with us. not only that, they were largely responsible for eradicating polio and the bringing of safe drinking water sources, not just drinking water, but drinking water sources to the poorest regions of Africa. $33 billion is a lot of money, isn't it? But listen to this. From 1995 to 2017, he held the Forbes title of the richest person in the world every year, except from 2010 to 2013. Bill Gates' net worth alone, his wife's net worth, not included, is estimated at $133 billion. And so if you do the math, no need to take out your calculator, simply lang ito, $133 billion net worth less $33 billion lifetime giving leaves you with how much? $100 billion. Can you imagine what you can do with $100 billion for yourself? I cannot even imagine what I can do with 1 billion pesos for myself, let alone $100 billion. Hindi ba? Now, the Macedonians did not give like the world's rich people, because many rich people give out of their excess without any sacrifice involved. Nor did they give like the selfish Christians whose love for the world exceeds their love for the kingdom of God. Giving for them was a battle. And yet, they gave generously, applying the principle in Matthew 6, 33, correctly, which said, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." But then, Paul was also quick to point out that they did so as a manifestation of the grace of God in their lives. Second principle we find in verse 2. Give even while experiencing affliction. In verse 2, it says that in a great ordeal of affliction. So Paul wanted to emphasize the desperate situation of the Macedonians. The Greek term used by Paul literally meant pressure, but figuratively it meant distress or tribulation. They endured so much pressure because of poverty and persecution. But the Macedonians rose above their difficult circumstances. They did not allow their situation to have a negative effect on their giving. Their poverty did not hinder them from giving. Continue with verse 2. It says there, and their deep poverty. The literal meaning of that phrase was extremely deep, rock bottom deep poverty. Kumbaga, meron tayong expression sa Pilipinas, mahirap pa sa daga. For those of you who do not understand Tagalog, I'm sorry, it means poorer than mice, poorer than rats. Now, to show how poor the Macedonians were, the original Greek word Paul used meant beggary, or forced to beg to survive, or destitution. They were so poor, and yet they put the needs of others, whom they had never met, ahead of their own. Their poverty may have limited the amount of money they could give, but it could not diminish their love. Christians give no matter what situation they are in, because even the most, even the worst circumstances cannot hinder their love for Jesus Christ. And so high taxes, slavery, and persecution reduced the Macedonian believers to abject poverty. Poverty describes as those with almost nothing. It is the same word used to describe the destitute widow in Mark 12, verse 42. Please, please turn with me to Mark 12, verse 42. Let me read that from the NASB. It says, a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, for they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on, all she had to live on. That's how the poverty of the Macedonians was described. And yet, they had all the confidence that God would supply all their needs. Now, we do not have to wait until we have more money before we start giving. If right now you are only earning something like minimum wage, you cannot say, my minimum wage is not enough to support my family. I'll just start giving when my salary increases. If you say that, when your salary increases, you will still not be able to give because it will still not be enough. Ganun po yun. If you're earning something like 10,000 a month, and then you say, I'll start giving when I receive a salary of 20,000 a month. Believe me, by the time your salary reaches 20,000 a month, you will still say, 20,000 is not enough. And by the time you reach 20,000, you'll still say, 20,000 is not enough. And so on and so on. Diba? Do not wait until you have more money. Give despite your poverty. Like the poor widow who was willing to give everything that she had to live on, that is also how we have to give. Remember Luke 16, verse 10. It says, Luke 16, verse 10, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. God might just be testing you. Giving is an expression of a loving heart. The Macedonians' generosity, despite their deep poverty, made them excellent models of Christian giving. Third principle, we see this still in verse 2. Third principle is to give with abundant joy. Go back to verse 2 and read that phrase that says, their abundance of joy. So how did the Macedonians give? Certainly they did not give grudgingly. No, they did not give out of obligation. They did not give out of fear. The Lord might punish me severely if I do not tithe. Siguro ganon, ganun ba? Or the Lord might take everything away from me. After all, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Ganun ba yun? Diba? Baka may masabi si pastor. Baka malaman niya, hindi ako nagtatithe. Nakakahiya. That's not how they gave. Instead, they gave joyfully, knowing that God loves a cheerful giver. I'll repeat that phrase. Despite their difficult circumstances, the Macedonians gave with an abundance of joy. They joyfully gave of what little they had. They rejoiced at laying up treasures in heaven, knowing that it is more blessed to give than to receive, and that God will give back in greater measure. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. We reap what we sow. pwede ko bang umani ng marami kung konti lang ang tinanim mo? It is not possible. It is not logical. Now, let me tell you a story. Robert Letourneau was an American inventor of machinery. He secured almost 300 patents relating to earth-moving heavy equipment. Ito po yung mga backhoe na malalaki. Po. He also secured patents relating to manufacturing processes and machine tools. He was widely known as a devout Christian and a generous philanthropist to Christian causes, and he was often referred to by his contemporaries as God's businessman because he gave a bigger portion of his earnings to the Lord's work, leaving just a small portion for himself. Again, it's easy to say, that guy is very rich. I'll do the same if I was rich. If I had the money of Bill Gates, how much? $133 billion. Even if I gave half to the church, that will still leave me with $67 billion. $67 billion or something. Still more than enough for myself, for my children, my grandchildren, and the great-grandchildren after my great-grandchildren. But Robert Letourneau did not start out rich. He started working as an apprentice ironmonger. Apprentice ironmonger, he is a blacksmith. Panday. Hindi nga panday. Assistant panday pa lang because he was an apprentice ironmonger. Now, while he was working as an assistant ironmonger, he studied mechanics from a correspondence school which he never completed. Now, because work was hard to come by, he became a laborer, a farmhand, a welder, and took on many other manual jobs. As he succeeded financially, he increased his giving. Now, in one of the episodes of Ripley's Believe It or Not, he was featured in Believe It or Not. The host, Ripley himself, revealed that Letourneau set aside 90% of his salary and company profits for religious donations, living only on the remaining 10%. Grabe, binaliktad niya. Sa kanya yung tithe, yung 90% sa Lord. Now, Ripley himself said in his Believe It or Not radio program, "You have made the Word of God a glorious practical reality, and of such is the work of faith, believe it or not." Now, every time he earned more, he decided to give more. By his standard of measure, it was measured to him in return. He kept giving to the Lord, and then he realized that he could not outgive him. Beautiful story, hindi po ba? I pray that we will be encouraged by that. Fourth principle, give liberally. We see that in verse 2. Liberally is synonymous with generous, by the way. In verse 2, we read, "overflowed in the wealth of their liberality." So watch how intentionally redundant Paul writes when he describes the Macedonians. Overflowing wealth and liberality. Now, overflow means abundance. Even if the Macedonians were not rich in material possessions, they possessed a wealth of liberality. Liberality is literally translated as sincerity or single-mindedness as manifested in unselfish giving. They were rich in single-mindedness and gave no thought of themselves. They were not double-minded in the sense that their concern for God's kingdom conflicts with their concern for the things of this world. There. Fifth principle, give beyond your ability. Now, verse 3 says, "For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability." So, Paul personally experience the generosity of the Macedonians. He initially said that they gave in proportion to what they had. For example, some of us might say, it's easy for us to build an elevator. That empty spot over there should be an elevator. Now, if an elevator will cost us something like 5 million, there were 500 of us, each of us will just give 10,000, we'll have an elevator. Ganun lang kasimple, hindi po ba? But we cannot say that. Because for some of us, 10,000 is just peanuts. But for some of us, 10,000 is a small fortune. And so, we give in proportion to what we earn or what we receive. But Paul was quick to add that the Macedonians even gave beyond their ability. Their giving was beyond what was reasonably, what could reasonably be expected of a poor congregation. So you can be sure that there was a great deal of sacrifice in their giving. They believed that God would supply all their needs, and they lived their lives depending on the Lord. Sixth, we have to give voluntarily. We find that in verse 3. It says, they gave of their own accord. Now, the Macedonians' giving was on their own initiative. It was self-motivated. It was spontaneous. They gave freely. They were not forced or intimidated to give. It's even possible that Paul might have not obligated them to give because he was aware of their deep poverty, and they would have been exempted from the collection on account of their poverty or poor situation. But then Paul raised them up as an example of sacrificial giving for the Corinthians, the rich Corinthians, to emulate. If you are employed, di ba, and your income falls below the threshold, you are exempted from paying any income tax. Hindi po ba? But if your tax if your income is above the threshold, tax is withheld from your income. Now, you have no choice. The government will not even give you the opportunity to hold your hard-earned money and then ask you to pay taxes. Hindi po ganon. Instead, you will get a pay slip that indicates how much tax was withheld from your salary in the form of income tax. If you are in business, you pay tax. If you have even just a small piece of land, you pay tax. If you have even just a little money in the bank, you will also need to pay tax. Tax will be held, will be withheld from the interest earned by your money. But the Lord is good. Giving to the Lord's work is not mandatory. Hindi po. You will not be investigated by our accounting department if you do not pay your tithes. Wala pong ganun. No? You will not be issued a notice of audit by accounting and then give you the notice that the burden of proof of tithing is upon you. Wala pong ganun. No? Christian giving is entirely voluntary. Sino ho dito sa inyo hinuhold up pagka umaalis dito para magbigay ng tax? Wala po. Huh? In the Old Testament, even if tithing was commanded in the law of Moses, the tithes given by the OT saints were voluntary. Huh? They gave of their own accord. And they gave out of love for the Lord. The government requires giving and will prosecute you for not giving. But the Lord looks at the heart that freely gives. Now, from the time of Moses, there was a period of required giving, no, which was not voluntary. You know? But this was to support the Levites in their service to the Lord. The Levites then were Israel's government, and the tithe was like a form of tax So there was also a second tithe to fund religious festivals, and also a third tithe to support the poor. No, required giving was like taxation during the time of Moses. Now, even in our church, we have required giving. Yan. If you want to join the Thomas Weber workshop, you will have to pay 350 pesos. No? You have to join you want to join a retreat, you'll have to pay a retreat fee. But our giving to the Lord is voluntary. It is a privilege. Read verse 4, it says, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. We find that in verse 4. They begged to participate in the collection. The phrase "with much urging" could be translated as "most insistently." Wala na nga siyang pera, nagbibigay pa siya. Sinasabi mo, wag na. Hindi, magbibigay pa rin. They literally begged for the blessing of helping to meet the needs of believers they had never even met. They did so out of the generosity of their hearts. 7th principle, we give as an act of worship to the Lord. Turn to verse 5 and read that. Verse 5, and this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. Ayan, they first gave themselves to the Lord because God was their first priority. They gave themselves to the Lord first, and then they gave money to the Jerusalem church. Now, this is related to the first principle we mentioned earlier, that giving is a result of grace. You cannot give to the Lord's work if you have not given yourself to the Lord first. Giving of oneself is a supreme act of worship. Giving to the Lord's work is a manifestation of giving oneself to the Lord. There. And then finally, what a sweet word. Hindi po ba? Finally. Finally, give as an act of submission to the leaders of the church. So still in verse 5, we read, and to us, by the will of God. Paul was referring to himself and the other leaders of the church. So first they gave themselves to the Lord and then to the leaders. Paul said, having given themselves to the Lord, the Macedonians also gave themselves to Paul and the other leaders of the church. Paul wanted them to submit to the leadership. And it was their devotion to the Lord that led them to submit to their church leadership. It is the will of God that Christians obey those over them in the Lord. Please turn your Bibles to Hebrews 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17 instructs believers by saying, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. There. The Lord delights in seeing His people submit to Him, and so the Lord delights in seeing His people submit to their church leaders and care for their leaders. Paul said in 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, the elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Now, generally, the word honor means respect. Well, Paul never directly asked for money, but according to John MacArthur's book on 1 Timothy, honor also speaks of giving an offering to God. It was used the same way the word honorarium was used. Honorarium, by the way, is money given to someone to honor them. Now, so this could mean financial support. Aside from respect, the elders have the right to receive financial support. Why? Because Scripture says the worker is worthy of his wages. The worker should receive sufficient honor and financial support from the people since they are serving the Lord and His church. The Lord ordained those who proclaim the gospel should get their living from the gospel. So you cannot say, why should I give to that church leader? He changes his car every few years. Meanwhile, I just take the jeep going to the center. I just lost my business. I just lost my job. He has the latest gadgets. The Apple logo is visible in all the gadgets that he has. Meanwhile, I have an old computer with a huge CRT monitor. You know what a CRT monitor is? It has a picture tube, and the length of the picture tube is greater than the length of the screen. Ganun po yun. Let me tell you something. Your perception of how rich or how poor a pastor is should not be a factor in giving to them. Hindi po pwede. You cannot decide to give to him just because he has worn-out shoes and not Louis Vuittons. Or you cannot decide to give to him just because he takes the jeep and not his own car to the center. We cannot decide to give or decide how much to give to our church leaders on the basis of how we observe or perceive them to be. Hindi po pwede. Why? Because not everyone knows the true story behind the public lives of our church leaders. We cannot clench our fists when we give to our leaders. Remember that they have made a commitment to live by faith. The elders who rule well, are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Every member of this congregation has the freedom to work in a reputable company or go into business to make money. Our full-time leaders do not have that freedom. They exercise their freedom to serve by choosing to serve God, to serve the church, and to serve you. And so, if we are not to give according to perception, how then must we give? Let me just summarize it for you. Let me repeat the 8 principles of biblical giving listed in this passage. First, realize that the grace of God is the driving force behind right giving. 2, give even while going through affliction or poverty. 3, give with abundant joy. 4, give liberally. 5, give beyond your ability. 6, give voluntarily. 7, give as an act of worship to the Lord. And then finally, give as an act of submission to the leaders of the church. The voluntary, generous, sacrificial giving, which was modeled by the Macedonians, was an example not only for the Christians, but also for all of us believers today. It is the path to experiencing God's rich blessings. We must have open hearts and open hands when we give. We must not hold on tightly to our money. The Lord forbids loving money. Now, here are some verses that say that. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Solomon, the richest man in his time, said in Proverbs 23, verse 4 to 5, do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies towards the heavens. Iniisip mo palang lumilipad na. That is how wealth is characterized by Solomon. If you love money, you will forget the Lord. Your trust will be on your money. If you love money, you will do everything to have it. You can steal, cheat, or even kill just to have it. The Bible exhorts us to follow the example of Christ. The Macedonians were an excellent example of giving, but no one can surpass the giving of our Lord Jesus Christ. He may not have given us money, but He gave us His own life to save us from our sins. He gave us His life so that we can have eternal life. Because we have received the best possible gift ever given by anyone, shouldn't this affect our giving to the Lord? Shouldn't this affect our giving to the needy, to the giving to the church? We always ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? Maybe we should ask ourselves, how would Jesus give? How would Jesus give? Alam niyo, when I joined a cooperative here in Baguio, a one-day seminar was required. One of the facilitators there mentioned that there were many members who were complaining about the deductions. Yes, the dividends were good. But each time a member or a family member of a member dies, all the other members would have to give a contribution. Kumbaga, abuloy. Abuloy, that's what they call it here in the Philippines. So many complaints. But for every complaint he hears, he will answer this way. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Tama naman, di ba? Acts 20, verse 35. Sabi niya, be thankful that you are the ones giving. It means every member of your family is alive. Because if you start to receive an abuloy, it means you just lost a loved one. So somehow, this silences all of the complaints. The more this should apply to the Christian, it should elevate our level of giving. 1 John 3, verse 17 says, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? How can we exhibit the love of God in us if we do not know how to give to the needy? Be thankful for every opportunity to give. Give and it shall be given to you. Means a generous giving of the Lord will result to a generous giving from the Lord. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. We cannot outgive God. We all know this, but I pray that this reminder causes us to ask the Lord to move in our hearts so that we will be known as a church that gives biblically. Now, before we close in prayer, we usually do is we stand up and look for a partner. So you know the routine. Can I ask you to please stand up, all of you? And for those who are first-timers and those who are not familiar with the routine, I'd like to ask you to please look for someone, preferably not someone close to you, even if you don't know them, and share how this message has spoken to you. Ganun lang po. Share how this message has spoken to you. Share how this message will change you. If you have finished sharing and praying, can you please return to your seats so that we can close in prayer? Can we return to our seats now, please? So in close in prayer. Can we all rise and close in prayer? Tumayo na po tayong lahat. And join me now as we close. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for your message, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you will cause our giving habits to change as we have listened to your message. This is not my message, O God, but this is your message, Lord God. So I pray, Father God, that as we have listened to it, it will cause us to just obey, Lord, and follow your commands to give biblically, to give to the needy, to give to the church, and to give to its leaders. Father, and allow our giving to be pleasing in your sight. Father, we even thank you for this opportunity to return to you the blessings that you have given to us. We offer our tithes unto you, O God, and we pray, Lord God, that you will be the one to use it wisely, Lord God, so that the church programs will be fulfilled, so that your purposes alone, Father God, will be fulfilled. Salamat po, Panginoon. We thank you even for every heart that has attended our Sunday service today, even those who are watching our live stream video. Thank you, Father, for this blessed time to fellowship with our brothers and our sisters here. Lord God, thank you. We're so grateful, Father God, for all the blessings that you have showered upon us, ungrateful and unworthy servants of yours. And yet you have decided to give to us anyway. You have decided, Lord God, to die on the cross for us, sinful people, O God. Oh, Father, your grace is just so abundant. And so we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for all of this. We entrust all of this to you, Lord God. And we pray, Father God, that as we leave this place, we'll be filled with your presence, and we will be able to share this joy also to the people who are around us, Father God. Be glorified in all of this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Paul. Thank you.